This is Hey Listen from Capital Public Radio, 90.9 FM on your radio dial in Sacramento, California. capradio.org/heylisten everywhere else. How you doing? I'm Nick Bruner. And this download, I have a new edition of The Guest List. It's where I invite someone in to bring three songs on a theme, talk about how they're all connected, talk about what they mean to that person. And this week's edition is one that I've been looking forward to for quite a while. That band is called King Woman. The driving force behind the group is Christina Esfandiari. She also has a solo project called Miserable. This podcast is an extended edition of our talk as a thanks for subscribing. The broadcast edition was significantly shorter. Christina's been living in New York City since early fall 2016. She moved there from the East Bay, which she's called home for several years. Before we get started, I had to get one thing clear, like right off the bat. It is Esfandiari, right?
Yes.
Okay, I've only seen it in print. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say it out loud.
Well, you know, good job, because most people say it wrong.
What's the most frequent mispronunciation?
Esfandiari. They don't even read it through, so they're like, Esfandiari. And I'm like, okay, nice try. Actually, you didn't try at all.
Now, you have two music projects that take up most of your time. You have King Woman, and there's Miserable. Tell me about King Woman.
King Woman is just like me dealing with some childhood stuff, trauma. In a sense, it's very spiritual and miserable. I think it's music I would have liked to make when I was younger, like a teenager.
What are you doing with Miserable that you can't do with King Woman and vice versa?
Only different genres. King Woman's like some people call it a doom band, but I don't really know what to categorize it as. But they're just different sounds. Like Miserable is more like alternative, like slightly grungy, angsty. I always need to keep my mind occupied and like be working on many things at once because it keeps me stable and grounded and sane. So working on one project just wasn't enough for me. And I just had different visions for them. And they're different parts of who I am, you know?
You and I have been in contact really sparingly off and on since about the year 2010. In fact,
whoa, really?
I remember you had sent me a Mount Shout.
Oh, God. this is just really funny for me. I was super Christian when I had that project, but at the same time, always kind of had this underlining darkness about me because of my upbringing. I was very disconnected from all of the things that had happened to me growing up. Didn't really know who I was yet. So you can kind of hear a little bit of that confusion in the sound. I'm super Christian, but I'm actually not at all, and I just don't know it yet, and I don't really believe any of these things that are like that I was taught to believe my whole life.
It sounds like you're not particularly religious these days.
Mm-mm, no.
Was that a difficult transition for you to go from this upbringing that you've had to being without faith now? And how does that reflect in your art?
I don't really know that I'm without faith. I definitely believe in like higher powers. I don't have a specific idea of what they look like. It's definitely not white Jesus, you know? That's not what it is for me. Spirituality runs so much deeper than that. And King Woman was that breaking point for me, where me and my band got together and they just started putting together these really heavy sounds, and I would just kind of go into this trance-like state and just kind of space out. These words would just come out of me and I would read them back or listen back on the recordings and be like, whoa, what am I talking about? This must be like something inside of me or like my subconscious or something that I am trying to get out and I just don't realize it yet. It was very frustrating, and I felt like I was wrestling with something when we recorded our four-song EP, Doubt. Which, you know, did really, really well because I think a lot of people related to what I was saying. And it was basically all of my feelings growing up in this four-song EP. It was so intense for me. I remember getting the final mixes back and I just like sat in my backyard and cried. I felt it. I was like, something's gonna happen when I release this. We did an interview with Rolling Stone, and I didn't expect the kind of response I got, where my inbox was flooded with emails from people around the world like, oh my God, like this is what happened to me in church, and this is what this pastor did to me, and this and this and this. And then people, fanatics, trying to send me prayers on my Facebook, like Messenger or something. I had like a panic attack. I was like, whoa, this is not, I'm not trying to, okay, this is getting weird already. I had, you know, a lot of issues with my family because of it, because they felt like I was shaming them and making them look bad. But I was like, look, this is what happened to me, and I need it. People need to hear this. It's important. Some people need help. So even at our shows, I mean, I get all sorts of very intense responses to King Woman. You know, people still send me emails or messages or talk to me at shows, and I'll just be like, let's go grab a drink and let's talk about this. I know your pain. I know how heavy this is. I know how confusing it is, and how you just really don't have a sense of self. It really messes with your sense of identity, or it did for me personally. The way that I was raised was very kind of cult-like, and there was like, it was charismatic Christian, so there was a lot of crazy stuff going on. Like, then I was exposed to a lot of intense things as a child.
And that was my next question, was if you wouldn't mind elaborating on which sect of Christianity you were brought up in, and whether or not you had had contact with other people from that same sect in other areas whose experience may have differed from yours.
Generally, no. They're all pretty messed up people, honestly. It's pretty black and white. You're not going to get people that are very in the middle, like, oh, it was such a great experience. It's pretty much like, I love God and this is so great. Or people that are like, stay away from me. I never want to be involved in that again, because it's a very intense environment. You know, you can't really be lukewarm about it.
Well, I do notice you're still wearing a crucifix.
This is my grandma's. I always wear it. And the crucifix, you know, times back, it's like way more than like Jesus on the cross. It's like the cross between masculine and feminine. It means so many things, you know? So, I love the symbol of the cross. I think it's beautiful and powerful. It reminds me of my past, and, you know, it's real gold. It's my grandma's, and I always wear it. Yeah, it's almost like a good luck charm.
What has been your biggest hurdle in the last, either creatively or business-wise, over the last, say, 5 years?
I guess, you know, a little bit of sexism in the industry. It's gotten better for me, just because I think I have kind of a reputation now. So, like, people know not to mess with me, but some people don't. And for the most part, don't really let it get to me anymore. I didn't see what I wanted to see in a lot of the music scene, so I made my own community and my own environment where nobody can mess with me or my friends. And that's kind of how it is at our shows in the Bay Area. It's like you look around and people are either crying or hugging or laughing, and like in these deep conversations, because that is something that me and my band expect and cultivate at our shows. And we have a lot of support in the Bay Area, like very big following, a lot of love.
So you have a move to New York City planned soon.
I do.
All right. So what's taking you to New York City from Northern California?
I couldn't tell you. It's just kind of happening. I blinked and here I am.
That's a hell of a blink.
It's a real intense blink. I was on a tour with King Woman, and one of my friends, who's very psychic, was basically like, I see you on the East Coast. I don't know why I keep seeing it. And I was just like, why would I live on the East Coast? And then I realized, oh, wait, my booking agent, both of my labels are on the East Coast. I have a million friends on the East Coast. And then, you know, several other people kept making comments about it, people just offering me places to live or places to work. So it just felt like, okay, I'm going to take a risk and see what good it brings me. So it all just kind of came together.
Going to New York and pursuing your dream sounds wonderfully romantic and fantastic. Going to New York to pursue your dreams sans having a job waiting for you sounds terrifying.
I'm not afraid. There's not much I'm afraid of.
One last thing about Northern California. In your time in the North Bay and your time in Northern California, are there emerging bands from the scene that you're excited about? And if so, who are they?
Whew. So many. Oh, man. I have to say, I'm so proud of the Bay Area and what we've become as a music. Our music scene is banging so good. Plush, OCD, High and Fragile, Never Young, everybody from Creative Native. Own's amazing. Redwood is amazing. Silver Shadows, Maine, Mall Walk, There's Talk, Chasms, Smiles, Yasu, 1988, Creepers, Belinda Butchers, Blossom, Delete, Apprentice Destroyer, Useless Eaters, Younger Lovers. There's a lot.
So what is it about the scene? I mean, like, what is the magical combination that's going on right now that has you so excited about these particular groups? Like, what do you attribute to this being the time for all these groups you've mentioned?
You see all types of people coming together, and there are no boundaries with the genres. And, you know, you see someone who's doing electronic music playing with, like, a grunge band playing with, like, a rapper. You know, everybody will come together. The shows are so loving and supportive and fun, and they feel very welcoming. And everybody's starting a band. But they're all amazing. You can't keep up with all of them because everybody's doing something rad. And there's shows, like, all the time. There's so much variety. everybody's doing something cool and different and unique and wonderful. And I'm so proud of all my friends.
Do you have any advice for up-and-coming bands, specifically out of the Sacramento region?
Do your own thing. Always do you and have fun. Sometimes, you know, doing art, music can be kind of consuming and narcissistic in a sense. You know, make sure to reach out to your friends around you and help them as well, because that's also going to bring the help that you need. I changed my philosophy a long time ago. I was just like, I'm not going to try too hard. I'm going to have fun and I'm going to work my ass off. And it's been going great.
This is Hey Listen with musician Christina Asfandiari of King Woman on the guest list today. She chose three songs on a theme, so let's get to those. You have different bands, you have different songs. Christina, what do these all have in common?
They make me feel very intensely and they all make me cry. They're all very different, however.
And the first track that you picked is from the band This Mortal Coil.
Yeah, it's called Kangaroo. It's actually originally a Big Star song, but I like this version better. It's one of those songs, I listen to it and I'm like, God damn, I wish I wrote that song. It's so good. It just reminds me of so many times where I've been at a party and I'm like attracted to someone and I want to talk to them, but there's that tension. And a lot of my songs are about sexual tension. I just think it's a beautiful song. I love the lyrics. It paints such a perfect picture. And it saw you. What I love about this song is I have no idea what they wrote it about, and it's open for my own personal interpretation, you know? I love the lyrics.
How does this song make you feel physically?
It makes me feel really cool, but it also just makes me feel like a longing. I don't know how many times I've listened to that song just on repeat in bed, just like, oh. It's a perfect song.
All right, so next up is the duo Teen Girl Fantasy. Lots of dreamy, droney, and dancey sounds coming out of these two. This song also features a vocalist called LaFonda. Tell me about her.
She is Middle Eastern, and I'm also Middle Eastern, so I just liked that off the bat. My girl holding it down. Before, I listened to a lot of folk and like darker music, and the older I get, the more I like production-based electronic sounds and a lot of R&B. I relate to the lyrics, strife in love, conflict, sad.
Is that a common theme with you?
Oh yeah, always. A very common theme. Calling to me, rushing me. Take all the little things that you want to be. Could have been the sun. Her voice. Oh, I love it. Reminds me of like Sade or something. It's beautiful.
That's a good pull.
Yeah.
There is a serious deep cut 90s R&B element about this.
Almost like the cadence in her voice. I also don't know what this is about, but I know how it makes me feel about my own situation and how I relate it to that. Feeling emotionally humiliated. Yeah. Humbling love. A lot of the time, you know, your feelings you can't really put into words, and just whatever sound someone is shaping or creating just connects with your heart.
Okay, Frank Ocean is the last artist that you picked for us today. Now, earlier you were telling me that you were really anticipating his latest record just before it came out.
He played my ass so hard, okay? I took Adderall and stayed up all night waiting for him to release his new album, Boys Don't Cry, because he put that video up on his site where he's just cutting wood in a warehouse. And so I was like, I'm popping Adderall, I'm not sleeping. I've been waiting for his new album forever. Didn't release it. Yeah, Frank, if you're listening, you know, you really broke my heart.
Wise man closes his mouth, madman closes his fist, young man shows his age, judge man named his sin, bad man don't exist.
This song was actually written originally for Django Unchained. Quentin Tarantino said that he could have just thrown it in the movie, but that's not why Frank wrote it. This song just paints a picture of what's going on around the world right now to me.
They'll rip apart his flesh till all that's left is glorious bone. So you'll bury your own to vain your sudden fall. What you know you claim, all you could hold. Too bad to you part from the mess you made. I bet your mother would be proud of you. I bet your mother would be proud of you. Primate sharpens tooth.
I remember the first time I heard it, I was just like ruined, just destroyed. The lyrics are just unreal.
And yet you listen to it again and again. What is that compulsion? Where does that come from?
The song's about suffering and the human condition, and it's like, why wouldn't I want to connect with that, you know? Makes me feel less lonely.
Rather let my limbs be drugged through mud.
This part.
You're my brother, but your eyes are cold. You're my sister, but your womb is bare. I bet our mother will be proud of you.
You almost shouldn't be allowed to speak during the song. It's just so... It just punches me in the gut. Don't get me started on Frank Ocean. I love him. He's like a huge inspiration for me. Him and Kendrick Lamar.
That's all I got, Christina.
You're wonderful.
Get out of here. Thank you so much. It was a real pleasure having you in just before you split for New York City.
You're kind of a legend in the Sac area.
What? Really? That's very nice of you to say. I feel very lucky to get to do what I do.
Yeah, you've worked with a lot, and you've like interviewed a lot of really wonderful talent from out here. And we appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you. I feel like I'm underdressed for this conversation all of a sudden. Oh, my. Go on.
You're turning red.
Well. Christina Esfandiari, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
King Woman signed to Relapse Records this past summer, and the band is working on completing a full length to follow up their EP called Doubt. Find Christina's other project, Miserable, at miserablegrl.bandcamp.com. And there's more about Christina Esfandiari at the blog entry for this podcast episode, including her interview with Rolling Stone. Now, you know, had you heard this piece on the radio, well, for one thing, it was like way shorter, so there's a lot more going on in this edition. But the song that followed the interview was directly related to our conversation. What was it, I hear you asking with sweaty anticipation? For that, dear listener, you're going to have to stream the episode of Hey Listen that we broadcast on the 19th of November, 2016. Plus, the featured album that week was the new one by A Tribe Called Quest, which is super good. The Hey Listen Radio Show archive is available for your streaming pleasure whenever you like at capradio.org/heylisten. You got music discovery and other fun pop culture bits from the little old public radio station that could. Cap Radio, Sacramento, California. That's every week. Doesn't cost a thing to listen, but I hope you'll consider becoming a member too, because you're investing in programs like this, also news, national shows like This American Life, classical music, and jazz too. If nothing else, I hope you'll subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already and share the episodes that you like. I'm Nick Bruner. Thanks very much for finding the Hey Listen semi-regular podcast. More episodes coming very, very soon. So we'll see you then.